There was once a young man standing along the banks of a mountain stream, and he's fishing for trout. Stranger approaches him and asks, "Have you had any luck?" The man replies, "Absolutely, I've had great luck. I took 10 trout out of this stream just yesterday." Stranger asks, "Is that so? By the way, do you know who I am?" "No, sir, can't say that I do." The stranger extends his hand and says, "Well, meet the new game warden." "Oh," gulped the fisherman. "Well, do you know who I am?" "Nope, sure don't." He took the warden's hand and said, "Meet the biggest liar in the state." I heard last week, maybe you know, what's the best percussion instrument to play while fishing? Castanets. Castanet. I better move on. For me, the best part of joking, for me, the best part of fishing is all the joking around. But for many, fishing is serious business, isn't it? It's both a noble profession and a time-honored pastime. For some, even, it's a rather dangerous livelihood. Others find it an exciting sport or tranquil form of relaxation. But regardless, fishing indeed is serious business. It certainly was in Jesus' day. In our gospel lesson, Simon Peter and his business partners, James and John, have fished all night and have come up empty. Now, for amateur fishermen, I assume this would be rather disappointing. But for persons for whom fishing is their livelihood, this is devastating. Jesus uses this opportunity to call them to give it up and to follow him. In similar manner, our Old Testament lesson contains also a story of calling. And like the gospel lesson, when this call comes, Isaiah, just like Simon, confesses his own unworthiness. To Jesus' call, Simon replies, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And at the sound of God's voice, Isaiah says, "Woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips." Upon hearing God's call, Isaiah and Simon declare their unworthiness before God. I just finished a book last week by Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber entitled Accidental Saints. The fact that we are both pastors may be the only thing Nadia and I have in common. Nadia is a recovering alcoholic and drug abuser. She is over 6 feet tall and has jet black hair. And even though she wears a clerical collar when she preaches, she cuts her sleeves off at the shoulders to reveal her many arm tattoos. Nadia's a tremendous preacher and wonderful pastor for a congregation in Denver. Among her many gifts is that she is upfront and honest with her struggles, especially with those struggles of feelings of unworthiness. And she attracts many people in the greater Denver area who feel the same way. In her book, she tells one such tragic example of her own unworthiness. Larry was one of her parishioners. Nadia says, "The truth is, Even though he was a nice guy, I just didn't like him. Probably because he was, unlike myself, she says, so nice. In the book, Nadi confesses that she was not the best pastor to Larry. She never made any attempt to connect with him or to connect him with the larger congregation. He just annoyed her. In fact, Nadia says, and you can hear her pain in retelling the story, she says she once purposely left him off of an all-church email list so he wouldn't know about the upcoming church retreat. One day, Larry called Nadia to tell her he had just received a terminal diagnosis. He and his girlfriend wanted to get married before he died, so would Nadia please perform the service? She admits, if it had been anyone else in the church, I would have probably said yes. She said, I would have rearranged my whole calendar to accommodate them, but not for Larry. So she hid behind a very convenient scheduling excuse. So the couple enlisted another minister. They got married, and soon thereafter, Larry died. Before Nadia could go comfort Larry's widow, she needed to confess her sin. She went to her friend Caitlin, a fellow minister, and confessed it all. Her feelings of guilt, of shame, of unworthiness, all of that crushed her spirit. But Caitlin imparted forgiveness. She said, Nadia, Jesus died for our sins, including that one. Nadia led Larry's memorial service in their church, and after the service, his widow approached Nadia. She said, thank you for having a church where Larry felt so welcome. He spoke so highly of you and this congregation, and I know that having you as his pastor meant so much for him in his final months. Reflecting upon all this, Nadia says, I was reminded once again that there is nothing we have done that God cannot redeem. God gathers up all our sin, all our broken stuff, and transforms all that death into life. She says, there is absolutely no justice in the fact that Larry loved me and loved our church. So I received that grace for what it is, a gift. You know, our unworthiness, best I can tell, doesn't seem to be a factor when God calls us to ministry. For Nadia, for Isaiah, for Simon, for you, for me, our fitness for the task doesn't seem to be much of a factor when God calls us to ministry. As Reverend Sarah Jackson Shelton puts it, God is not concerned with our unworthiness. God is concerned with our willingness. To Isaiah, God touches his lips with burning coals and says, "Your guilt has been taken away. Your sin is forgiven." To Simon, Jesus says, do not be afraid. I love this image. Jesus calls Simon to cast aside his unworthiness and cast a net of faithfulness into the deep water where the fish are plentiful. Move out into the deep water, Jesus says. let down your nets there. Sounds awful simple, doesn't it? But is it? I mean, do we know what Jesus is really asking of us here? He's asking Simon to trust him. To trust him so much that he would be willing to move to the limits of what he thinks is possible, not just for him, but for all those around him. Move out into the deep water, Jesus says. Trust me and see what happens. And I totally get Simon's reluctance. He knows that once he takes the risk, once he takes that risk of leaving behind what is familiar and comfortable, the entire direction of his life will change. He knows that when he leaves those shallow places behind, shallow places in his work, in his relationships, shallow places with others and with God, and dare to go just a little bit deeper, everything is going to change. And a good way for us to resist responding to God's call to enter the depths of our own lives is to say something similar to what Simon says to Jesus. He says, oh, there's no use for us to go into those waters. We fish those waters over and over all night, in fact. There's nothing there. God, we've tried to be a faithful church. We've done as you've asked us to do. We've made for us a comfortable existence here in our community. Let's just stay where we are. At this point, Simon becomes, I believe, a model for discipleship. It happens in that very moment when he responds to God's call and says, we've tried this before, but if you say so, and off he goes, perhaps, probably, reluctantly. He goes out into the deep water, and there he finds an abundance like he never imagined. Friends, this is why I love this story of call, because Jesus doesn't call Simon to be anything other than who he already is. He doesn't call Simon to be a rabbi like himself or to take up a career in carpentry. Jesus calls him to live into the depths of his own life. He calls him to remain a fisherman. But Jesus says, from now on, you will be catching people. This Wednesday evening, I have the honor of preaching at Quiaquasan Baptist Church, a predominantly African-American congregation nearby. You may recall that Quiaquasan Baptist members and their pastor joined us for our Thanksgiving service a couple months ago. So in return, they asked me to preach for one of their Wednesday night Black History Month services. Before accepting the invitation, I asked, are you sure? I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm honored by the invitation, but are you sure you want the white preacher to preach the Black History Month worship service? Dr. Theodore Brown, their senior pastor, said, absolutely, I do. What's more, he's invited any of you who would like to come and be present for this worship service this Wednesday at 6:30. Call me and I'll give you the details. I talked to Dr. Brown just a couple days ago to get an idea for perhaps a direction he'd like me to go. And he said, I don't want to tell you what to preach, but I do need to tell you this. Considering how Virginia politics are making national news these days, it is more important than ever for our churches to come together. Amen to that. That's deep water. That's awful deep water. Next Sunday, CBF missionary Reverend Sue Smith will be preaching in this pulpit. I'm very excited for you to hear Sue as she and her husband, Greg, work with the Latino community in Fredericksburg. They'll be sharing stories about how they are seeking to transform lives and transform communities in the name of Jesus Christ. Our church in 2019 has begun an intentional mission partnership with the Smiths so that we can support their work and they can provide us opportunities to be engaged in it. That's deep water. That's awful deep water. Perhaps it is through ministries like this that God is calling us out of the shallow water and into deeper water. And I don't know about you, but sometimes for me, going into deep water is scary and unpredictable. But if this story is to be believed, that's where God's blessings are found. And it helps, I think, to realize that the first step in moving out into deep water is to consider where we've already been, to remember where God has already taken us. We do this by telling the story of this church, to remind ourselves and to remind others why we do certain things and why we do them in certain ways. We tell the story of this church and those brave charter members who followed their hearts and followed their dreams to see what God was up to on the corner of River and Ridge. We tell the story to remind us of our past because that gives us hope for where God is calling us next. And you who have been around here for some time, you have a special responsibility. You have the responsibility to help us muster the courage to do this all over again, to be those people who are courageous enough to roll up our pants and wade out into the deep waters and see what God has in store. River Road Church, God is calling us out from the shore. God is calling us out into the deep water to lay down our nets in new places so that we might reel in God's blessings for our church and for our community. But exactly where that deep water is, I'm not exactly sure. I think God is revealing that to us, not just to me, but to us, together in community. Where do you think God is calling us? What deep water is God calling us to? How will we respond? Will we cower in fear? Will we hide behind our own feelings of inadequacy? Or will we boldly follow the one who said, "Don't be afraid. I am with you, even to the end of the age"? Amen.